Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Trevor Maddich was just with us, ESPN college football analyst. And it was funny, during the first break of the Trevor segment, I was saying, you know, Trevor came on before they announced a playoff and said, I think it's terrible to expand the playoff. And then the next week, after it was announced they were pretty much going to expand the playoff, he's like, I think it's good because 12 is better than 8. And then it rattled off all the reasons why 12 was better than 8. And Trevor is for all the money that's going to be made for Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC without really having a reason. And it's as Caroline put, and I love Trevor, but it is because Trevor, as one of the lead analysts at ESPN, has to like these things. Because who's driving all of this? ESPN.
He gets his paychecks from the mouse. So, and the mouse gets paid from the SEC.
And I said to Trevor, help me understand what I can be excited about for Vol season this year. Joe Rexroad, for example, is in Knoxville right now at Vols Media Day. Now, we heard Josh Heupel's opening press conference. We heard Josh Heupel at SEC Media Days. It's all the same. It's going to take time. We got to recruit, but we're really excited. You know, the power T, we want to run through it. 100,000 fans. We know the talking. And we know, because Butch had a terrible first year, and Pruitt had a terrible first year, and we know Heupel's going to have a terrible first year. Like, we know. And I'm just trying to figure out how you can be excited for this football season for the Vols when we know that whoever the quarterback is going to be whatever, and we know that the team
well,
has...
Well, we don't know who the quarterback is going to be.
But whoever it is going to be whatever. Like, if it's Milton, it's going to be whatever. If it's Hendon Hooker, it's going to be whatever. If it's Harrison Bailey, it's going to be whatever. If it's Brian Maurer, it's whatever. Like, whoever wins this job is not winning the Heisman Trophy. Like, that I
know. That's fair to say, yes.
Okay. We know they're not beating any good teams in the SEC. We know they're probably not beating Kentucky or Missouri or teams like that. I mean, they're probably going to maybe beat South Carolina and they'll beat Vanderbilt. And I just have such a hard time. I really do. Seeing the excitement. Even if you're a fan, seeing the excitement. And I was thinking about this because during this past break, and I was like, well, does that mean that you don't get excited for a team coming off of a bad season no matter what? And I'm like, why is it different in the NFL? And then I thought, well, because if you're that bad in the NFL, you get the first pick the next year. So the Jags, who were awful last year, there's excitement for Jacksonville Jaguars camp because they've got Trevor Lawrence and they've got a new coach, Urban Meyer, who people wanted to hire, who wanted to be there. The Jets have Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh, so you can be excited. You're probably not going to think the Jets are very good, but let's see if Zach Wilson is the next great thing. You don't have any of that with Tennessee this year. Even if Heupel's a great coach, they're not going to have a good team. So I asked the question to the fans. Are they excited for this year, knowing what we know about the situation they're going to be in? And you've said the text line, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You say the text line's exploded.
Yes, the text line has exploded. And it's a lot of Tennessee fans who say that they are very excited for this season. For example, Brian texts into the text line, says, I am excited. I think this offense will be something to watch. And I do believe we can win 6 games. I agree with the first part of that. I do think that this Tennessee offense will start to get a little bit more legs. I don't think that it's going to be a completely different offensive look, but I think that you're going to start to see a little bit of Josh Heupel magic sprinkled in throughout the season. However, I disagree with the fact that they're going to win 6 games.
I think
Tennessee wins 4.
How can you have Josh Heupel magic this season when you don't have an offensive line? This is the SEC. You can't just invent an offensive line.
Aware.
I mean, you look at those offensive lines in the SEC, Georgia, Alabama, those are 330-pound boys. You know, you've got Cade Mays, so you got one. But that's it. I mean, those are big boys. Those are, like, this is a different league. This is not.
But going up against a South Alabama defensive line.
I'm supposed to be excited about that.
No, but I'm saying you're saying that Tennessee doesn't have any sort of offensive line, and I agree with you in a certain way, but you don't think that they can have some sort of offensive production against South Alabama or Bowling Green.
Their schedule is very favorable.
I agree with you. Well, I think they win four games. Like, a Bowling Green win, Pittsburgh, I think, will be a loss. Tennessee Tech win, Florida loss.
Pittsburgh sucks, too, though. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Pittsburgh. Well,
I'm not going to say it's going to be, like, you know, let's go ahead and throw money on Pitt, throw the savings account on Pitt, but I think that could be a surprise loss for the Vols, yeah. Tennessee Tech win, Florida loss, Missouri loss, South Carolina win, Ole Miss loss, Alabama loss, Kentucky loss, Georgia loss, South Alabama win, Vanderbilt win. That's four wins.
Why do they schedule homecoming for Georgia? Like, maybe...
I don't know.
Ole Miss?
Maybe because
that should be homecoming because Lane's
it literally
home.
Is a homecoming for Lane.
Maybe. I mean, you know, now that I look at the schedule, Bowling Green, yeah, okay, you should win that game. Pittsburgh, yeah, probably won't win that game, but it's at home, so maybe you win.
They could win. I think that game is going to be the toss-up.
Texas Tech, okay, fine. Let's just say, okay, three wins now. Like Missouri, South Carolina, you beat those teams last year. Not that I think you can beat those teams this year, but maybe you can. So let's just say you get one win out of that, so now you're at four. We're pretty dead set Ole Miss and Kentucky are losses, right?
Yeah.
Okay, South Alabama.
I'm high
Vanderbilt,
in Kentucky this
maybe
year.
Six, I don't know. But I just, like, who's going to be the quarterback? Like, all these things, it's like, I'm not sure that it matters. Like, the idea of who's going to be the, who's going, like, okay, so if you win
the
four
quarterback,
games,
they said they're going to name a quarterback 1 week ahead of game one.
It's going to be Joe Milton, right?
Probably. But if I'm Harrison Bailey, I'm a little bit upset about that. But I think game one, it'll be Joe Milton with Harrison Bailey stepping in throughout the season.
So you think this is because you think I hate college football?
What?
That I have zero excitement for this Vols season.
Well, you also don't like the Vols.
I don't not like the Vols.
But you don't like the Vols.
I mean, I watch all their games. I've always watched all their games as a kid. I've watched Tennessee football longer than you've been alive. So, like, I have always watched their games.
Okay.
But I'm just... It's just, it's the same. It's the same as Pruitt's first year. It's the same as Butch Jones's first year. And the games themselves, you'll watch, and they'll be a little interesting as long as they're not getting housed. But once it comes time to, like, being excited for the season, I don't have any of that. I don't have getting excited for training camp. I don't know how you can be a UT fan. I don't know how you can be a Vols fan. And, like, sit there and, like, talk at work at the water cooler about Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton.
Well, that's
and
what you do
Bailey
when you're a fan of a team. It doesn't matter if they're good or
but
bad.
But when you're that awful, like, at least in pro sports, there's, like, trade deadlines where it's like, okay, I think we should trade this, 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 and this and get all these picks back. Or it's draft time where it's like, oh, I think we should draft this guy with the first overall pick. You don't have that in college football.
Because you don't like college football.
But it doesn't exist in college football.
Because that's college football. That's just a part of the sport.
So when you have a bad team, you're just supposed to sit there and hope that your bad team isn't bad anymore?
Well, just because they're a bad team doesn't mean you can't talk about the team. You wouldn't tell me that Yale football fans don't talk about Yale football, even though it's probably terrible football
okay,
to watch?
Okay, let's turn around. What about Vanderbilt fans? What are Vanderbilt fans right now getting excited about for their season?
I don't know. I am not one.
Well, you got to figure it out because it's kind of the job around here.
Well, I'm not a Vanderbilt fan, so I do not know what Vanderbilt fans are talking about. Are they talking about a new coach? Maybe. Yeah,
and that's what you're excited about. Because, like, Clark Lee's got to go through a year of crap, too. I mean, he's probably going through a couple years of
probably
crap.
Probably a few years of
but,
crap.
Like, you got to go through the year of crap. And that's what I'm saying. Like, how, if you're a Vol fan, it's one thing to be excited when it's the first year of crap. Right, like when you move on from Butch Jones and you had some highs, even though you don't want to admit.
And let's not forget, we're moving on from a terrible quarterback.
Sure, but you had all of the highs from the. There were a lot of highs and lows during Butch Jones' tenure. Like people want to pretend like Butch Jones didn't do anything right, and that's just not true.
A couple winning
seasons
in there.
And I was up his rear end like every second of every day because I thought he was phony, and I let everybody know about it. And the UT fans at the beginning hated it because they were like, Butch is our guy. And I'm like, okay, calm down now. But you knew you had to go through that first year of crap with Pruitt. And it was like, all right, well, you know, Pruitt's going to recruit some of his guys. We'll see them come in here. We know they're not going to be good, but maybe they'll give us a tell for the future. But, and maybe it's because I'm older. And when you get older, all the years just kind of like meld together. Or maybe it's because I'm just tired of it, but I know it's going to be the exact same as Pruitt's first year, where the expectations are zero, and anything they do that's good will be good, but it won't mean anything like long term. And that's what we're looking at this year.
I mean, what do you mean good long term? Like winning a national championship?
No, I mean, like, let's say that Trevor brought up the defensive line, right?
Uh-huh.
And said that they've got all these seniors on the defensive line. Fine. So you put these seniors on the defensive line in there, and they're good this year. You have a good defensive line. You have a terrible team, mm-hmm. but a good defensive line. Well, that's not going to matter next year because they're all going to be graduated. So why should I get excited about that?
This all goes back to my point that you just don't like college football.
I don't understand what you mean.
Okay, well, you know, who cares about a good defensive line because they're all just going to graduate and go to the NFL next year anyway, so who cares?
Well, they're not going to the NFL, but they're not going to be on Tennessee's team anymore.
Okay, wherever they're going, they're not going to be here next year.
You have a four-win team with a good defensive line.
Okay.
Defensive line leaves.
Yep.
So now when I'm trying to build my team to be better than four
wins. Are they all seniors?
That's what Trevor said. So when I build my team to be better than this four-win team, they're all going to be gone. So even if I get excited during my four wins that, hey, my defensive line played great against Missouri, it's not going to matter. Like, but it's not going to matter to the overall long-term stability of the ball program.
That is not a problem that is unique to the University of Tennessee. That happens to every single college football program that you have turnover every 3 or 4 years.
That happens to every bad team. But like,
that players graduate?
No, it happens to every bad team. That you get excited about something that ultimately doesn't matter to the growth of your program. When you were at LSU, you weren't excited about the wide receivers putting up stats. You were excited about the wide receivers helping you compete against Alabama. And then you knew that when those guys left, there'd be new guys to come in to play wide receiver. And when you look at your quarterback, Miles Brennan, who just, I guess, had shoulder surgery or whatever.
Yeah, not the quarterback anymore.
But when you look at your quarterback, you don't think, gosh, I hope we have a quarterback that can help us beat South Alabama this year and then not do anything else for the rest of his tenure at LSU. You look at it as, can we get a quarterback that can come in here to LSU that can help us beat Ole Miss and Mississippi State and Auburn and put up a fight against Alabama? And like, that is worth being interested in.
Well, but we did have a quarterback that lost to Troy.
But the idea that like Tennessee fans should be excited to have four wins because, you know what? Yeehaw, college football. Like, that is...
So should Tennessee fans just not be excited about their team?
Yes! There's nothing to be excited about. That's my point.
It's happening. I think that's enough that games are happening. I mean, I'm excited about my team. My quarterback is out. They're throwing a sophomore in at starting quarterback. I'm excited.
But you have a good program that could surprise people and could be good and has a national championship winning coach and is 2 years removed from winning the title and has NFL draft players. Tennessee's team, I'm telling you, like the rebuild year, and I'm going to watch this year, mainly because it's my job, but also because but the rebuild year is literally to me knowing that any of the guys that are good in the rebuild year aren't going to be here when it's rebuilt, unless this is like Nick Saban at Alabama, where the second year they won the national title. But talking about it in anticipation a month before it happens is literally like watching the grass grow. It's like, hey, you should be interested in watching grass grow because it grows. Like, so? Like, I should be interested in watching a Tennessee team that can't compete in the SEC not compete in the SEC, and I should be excited about it?
I think a lot of the excitement comes from expectation and the unknown of like, okay, this is a new year. We've gone through so many new coaches that just haven't really worked out for us. Could this be the one? Could this be the guy? The guy who has had so much success on offense in his career, both as a player and as a coach. I guess it's the expectation and the unknown that they're excited about.
Are they?
The text line is excited. One texter texts in and says, I lost it. Says, Bradford Ashland City says, I'm a diehard Tennessee Vols fan. I understand this year is going to be crap, but as long as I can see improvement, I will be okay with it. He's got 3 years. In my opinion, if I can see improvement each year, I'm okay with that. I think that the standard, when you're a Tennessee fan, when you're a Vanderbilt fan, when you're a fan of a program that hasn't had historic success, your expectations aren't incredibly high. They're not, I don't think that Vols fans are going into this season saying, well, I'm not excited because Tennessee's not going to win a national championship.
It's not that they're not going to win a national championship. It's that
they're not going to win the SEC.
It's that they're not even in the same galaxy of competing with teams that they should be competing with. Like, I guess what I'm saying is I'm just tired of year seven of a rebuild.
That's fair. Like, I think Tennessee fans are as well.
Like, I'm just not excited about going into year seven of a rebuild knowing that it's really going to be like year one. And I shouldn't feel bad about that. That's just the reality of the year of crap Tennessee's about to go through. This team's going to be awful. They're going to be awful.
But what were they last year?
But see, they
awful.
But they didn't know that last year.
They did. I think they knew that.
No, not going into the year. They extended the coach. They extended the coach. And somebody around here.
I think the fan perception was a little different.
And Mr. No, no. Miss A. Let me say this. Mr. Non-College Football Fan, as Caroline Fenton says, or Mr. Hates the Vols, as Caroline Fenton said, was the one person who put their hand up and said, maybe I wouldn't give a contract extension to this guy. And if you look at the tweets, that was the 2 o'clock segment. And if you look at the tweets from back then when I said, don't give Pruitt a contract extension, I said he's doing an okay job. And when you do an okay job, you don't deserve an extension. But you don't deserve to get fired either. Mm-hmm. You know, you just keep just doing your job. And everybody there was like, no, we're doing this now so that when Saban leaves Alabama, they'll keep Pruitt from going there. And it was like,
that sounds backwards.
And it was like, you don't know anything about college football. I trust Fulmer and I don't trust you. And it was literally like a 500 tweets that were like that. Cause like, I'm a little realistic here. And so I just don't have it in me. I don't have it in me. I cannot fake interest in something that I know is going to be a year of crap. I can't do it. Joe Rexroad maybe is going to do a great job tomorrow on Robbie and Rexroad telling you about all the things that he learned at UT Vol Media Day, but I can't do it.
It might be crap, but I think as long as it's better crap, I think that's all Tennessee fans need, just to keep them going. One more season. Just
so
keep
that's
going.
What the water cooler talk is? So can we be better than last year's historically horrific season?
I think that's fair to ask. Can we be better than historically horrific? I think that's fair.
Oh, God, that's awful. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your reaction on this because I got some good reaction coming into me as well that I want to get to. We'll do that coming up next. Stillman & Company, we are live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell all the fine folks out there about Nashville SC and the New England Revolution have a huge match to take over first place in the Eastern Division this Wednesday night. Join us for a fun watch party at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. You can enjoy great beer specials on Heineken. Plus, they will be giving away tickets to the next Nashville SC home game. Mark your calendar to watch Nashville SC take on the New England Revolution Wednesday night at 6 o'clock at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Craft Pizza and Tap Room, 1003 Russell Street in East Nashville. I'm all worked up now. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman & Company, Vols Media Day today, and I'm sure Joe Rexroad will have all kinds of takes tomorrow on Robbie and Rexroad.
Good or bad takes, do you think?
I mean, you know how I feel about Joe and his takes. I think they're bad. But, so anywho, Trevor Maddich was trying to sell me on being excited about Vol football season. You're just trying to turn this into that either I hate the Vols or I hate college football.
I'm not trying to turn it into that. I don't think you realize that you just don't like it. I'm not trying to turn it into that.
I like college football fine. I like it fine. But there's no excitement for me. It's like the Atlanta Braves. Ronald Acuna got hurt. Would you say I love the Braves?
Yes, you do love the Braves.
Ronald Acuna got hurt. I was sitting front row at the game when he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, if it's on and I'm there, like, maybe I'll watch. But, I mean, they tried to buy at the trade deadline, and I just don't have any.
I also think baseball's a little bit different, too, because they play so many games. So
it's
like
a lot to keep up with.
It's a lot to keep up with. If you miss a Wednesday night Braves game, it's like, eh.
But I was excited before the season because I thought we were going to the World Series.
You did
this, like, it's another bad year. So, again, taking your reaction. So Chad Withrow texted me. Chad Withrow of OutKick sent me a text in here. And he said, I'm as in tune with the Vol fan base as anyone. And I think we kind of all know, like, we know where Chad's allegiances lie.
Yes.
And he said, I'm as in tune with the Vol fan base as anyone. We are not excited. We are as wait and see as we've ever been before. Just score points and look like you actually want to play football. Expectations are very low. Like, just look like you want to play football. And I totally hear what he's saying. I mean, I totally hear what he's saying. And I'm like, man, that idea just doesn't get me jazzed up. Like, the idea of, yeah, no, we're not excited. We're just kind of in wait and see. Like, okay, fine. Kick it off week one. All right, come on, Vols.
Like they say Vols. That, but I don't know if they mean it.
Let's go, Vols. Hey, we're sitting up, baby. We're sitting up first and 10. Let's go now. Hey, oh, get him stopped right here. Okay, well, but, I mean, that's how I feel about it. But the idea of talking about it in early August when it's not going to happen for another month, like, I mean, what is there to say? Like, how do you do sports talk radio in Knoxville right now? Get Vince Ferrara on the show at some point. We got to talk to Vince because he goes on every Monday with Dan Monica Chase. Somehow he does 4 hours or how many hours a day he does. Somehow he does.
I think it's actually, like, it could be, and I don't want to say that anyone's job is easy because I know this is a difficult job. I think it could be pretty easy because there are so many question marks about Tennessee football. There are so many possible things that could go right and could also possibly go wrong.
What could go right?
You could talk about it for days.
What could go right? Let's go to your phones. Alexander, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alexander up next on the Vols. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Alexander.
Jared, Caroline, thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
You all both are a breath of fresh air. Jared, you're like way more depressing than a normal Tuesday. But we love our college football. And I'm telling you, as fans, we set our level of expectations at the beginning of the season. I think they're high, and then we realistically adjust accordingly. But it's like every season, I'm excited, yo. I've been a Browns fan all my life, and granted, with their success and what they've been doing, it's hard. It was hard to root for them, but at the end of the day, we support our teams. We support our fans, and it's always something to get excited about, man, just seeing the football, just being out there. I took my first head coaching job coaching the 10- and 11-year-olds, you know? And I don't know what's going to happen on each Sunday, but it's like, we're going to put our best work in. We're going to try.
See, that's the difference, Alexander. And good luck with those kids. And I appreciate your call. That's the difference, though. You don't know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen this year with the Vols. Now, if there was a recruit out there who was like, you know, Tennessee is in on, I'm trying to think, Deshaun Watson, right? Like when he was coming out of whatever.
Right.
Like if they were in on him, I would be excited about that. Like I would get into that. Now, recruiting's kind of crazy because I remember when Louisville signed Lamar Jackson. And he was a 3-star kid, and it was like, yeah, apparently he's really, really fast, has a lot of talent. But we didn't know that Lamar Jackson was going to be Lamar Jackson.
Right.
But, like, if they were in on that kind of – and I know they're in on some big recruits.
They're in on a big time, and I don't know that the last time that I checked that he has committed elsewhere, but there's a big-time defensive line recruit, one of the top recruits in the country, 5-star, who is from Memphis and just transferred high schools in Knoxville. Yeah. I think that they're thinking,
like,
okay.
Walter or something.
Well, I don't know his name off the top of my head.
I mean, this is a pro sports town. So, like,
yeah.
Recruiting as far as –
and
like,
it's a fun conversation to have.
Now, if I was in Knoxville doing radio there, we'd be talking.
We'd know his name. We'd do 4 hours on him
every day. Because I did that in Louisville. I mean, I remember when Antonio Blakeney was committed to Louisville and dropped because Nike convinced him not to. And so he went to, I think he went to LSU or something like that. And that and Patino just went nuts about the shoe deals. And like that was a huge story to us. But, like, in reality, I mean, like, come on now. Ryan is up next. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Ryan.
I wanted to call in. I felt obligated. A little backstory. Born in Michigan, huge Michigan fan, but I got my master's from UT last year, so the Vols have a soft spot in my heart. This is a warning call. Do not get coerced into the fraudulent Joe Milton. He fits the profile of, you know, an athletic quarterback that's going to be able to move the ball. This guy, go back, watch Michigan Rutgers, and look at the hole that he put us in that first half. He's missing check down throws 10 feet over the receiver's heads. no pressure on him whatsoever. His mobility is weak.
Oh my God, Ryan, I have to cut you off. I'm sorry, I don't care. I don't care.
Hey, thank you for your call. Nice, Ryan.
I like him. I like the call. Like, I know I'm going to say.
I appreciate his insights. But I get a lot of Michigan Vol fans in here.
But see, that's my problem, is I don't care because they
Because you don't like college football.
They all stink. They're all going to stink. And I can now say this about college kids, because I used to have a rule that college kids I wouldn't pick on because they're in college. But now that they can make money, it's different. They're all going to stink.
They can wipe their tears with their $100 bills.
Well, my rule is, because like you'll get this from coaches and GMs like time
don't
to time.
Don't pick on them.
Is, you know, my kids here listen to, you know, here's what happens. You say something bad about somebody, then they're going to find out whether or not they're actually listening. Now, most of these people do listen, but whether or not they're actually listening, it's not so much that as much as it is that bad news travels fast and somebody hears it and tells somebody who tells them. And, you get the occasional, like, my kids hear that their dad's gonna get fired and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, guess what? Your kids get to drive the nicest cars and go to the best schools because you make $8 million. So I don't want to hear about how tough it is on you that
wipe
your
kids
tears
with your Birkin.
This. So I always used to feel like, you know, we want to pick on Ryan Tannehill. Like, Ryan Tannehill's making $29.5 million. So, you know, your life's a two-way street.
Right.
But now that the college kids are getting paid, now I feel they're all going to stink. Even if it's Milton or Hooker or Maurer or Harrison Bailey, they're all going to stink, and you know it. Like, you know it. Are they going to stink?
Probably.
You know it.
But, like, are we talking about stinking? Like, okay, are they going to stink because they, like, they're not going to go to the NFL? Because what percentage of college
quarterbacks
really go to
the NFL? No, they're
going to
stink because they stink.
Probably.
Like, if Brian Maurer is the
probably,
starting quarterback.
But the whole thing is the possibility that they might not. And that's what gets people going. That's what gets people going.
Except that I believe deep down inside, Vol fans know they're going to stink this year.
Well, I think Vol fans are used to that. I don't think Vol fans are worried about stinking versus not stinking. I really do think it's just the let's just not stink as bad as we used to.
Yeah, like, I don't know how that gets me. I don't know, like, when you're in a...
Because when you're a fan of a
But when
program,
you're in a pro sports town, like, when you like multiple teams, it's one thing, like, again, when I lived in Louisville, and it was Louisville and Kentucky, and that's all anybody cared about. And if Kentucky basketball was bad, like, you can't shield it with Kentucky football. Like, you just are sad that Kentucky football's bad, or Kentucky basketball's bad. When you live here, like, there's too much to do. There's Titans, there's, you know, like the Predators learned this the hard way. When they're going to the Stanley Cup final, there's nothing hotter. When they're the President's Trophy team, like everybody's talking about it all day, every day. You go back down to that bottom right there, ain't nobody talking about you. Like that is, like that's how you, and we're all becoming a bigger city every day.
Right.
And that's what's happening. Like in New York, for example, nobody talked about the Nets. They got KD and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and now everybody in New York is talking about the Brooklyn Nets. And like that's just how bigger cities work. And this is where we are, in a bigger city. So it's like I can't bring myself to it. We're in a transplant city, we're in a big city, we're in a pro sports city. We got the Titans are gonna win the AFC South for sure.
Send it in. Or you're walking around in a Colts thong.
And I just don't know how to get excited. I just don't know how to get excited about this. Above all football. Oh, man, it's bad. Speaking of the Titans winning the AFC South, I have got to give credit where credit is due. Because some people are selling you on the notion that Indianapolis has a shot. But I will appreciate those that keep it real. I'll explain next. Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss the Music City Grand Prix show with Chase McCabe later today at 6. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Newton Motor Group. Also this Saturday at 9 a.m., tune in for a special Grand Prix edition of Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe. Brought to you by Firestone Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, and European Collision Repair. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You can do everything right in the National Football League. Everything right. The Colts have done everything right. They built a pass rush, a great O-line, a great GM, an excellent coach, super roster, smart with their money, don't overpay anybody. Yeah, they can't get the quarterback right. And when Andrew Luck retired right before the season, everybody in the media said, he has a right to retire whenever he wants. I said it too. But this is what it is since then. They have been bailing water at the number one most important position.
Colin Cowherd, I mean, they draft incredible every year. They got the best general manager in the history of the sport and an incredible head coach. Guys, we talk about not being excited, Vol football, how bad they might be. Indy's not going to be very good this year.
Indy is not going to be very good.
So I went down the rabbit hole yesterday. I decided to listen to Indianapolis Sports Talk Radio. Now, you know how local talk radio is. This was something that I had to fight a lot when I came here, which was people that only want to hear good things about their teams all the time. And I can't do that. Now, maybe sometimes I'm a little bit too cynical, or maybe a little...
You?
Well, no. I mean, you know me. I just keep it real. But I was listening to Indy Sports Radio, and so they had some fill-in guys on 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. So I was listening to this yesterday with all the Carson Wentz news. Now, this was pre-Quentin Nelson news. But I was listening to it, knowing that the national media just kisses the butt. I mean, they just pucker up and smooch all over Frank Reich's rear end and Chris Ballard, especially Ballard. I've never understood it. So I'm listening to local talk radio. I'm like, okay, this is going to be just rich. And I have to give these guys some credit because they were kind of keeping it real. Here's what the filling guy said yesterday.
But if Eason fumbles in the driver's seat, or if you're scrambling to throw Brett Hundley, who hasn't played meaningful football since 2015, I mean, he's been a backup, but he hasn't played meaningful starting reps since 2015 when Aaron Rodgers had his issues with his collarbone, I believe. I don't see how you say 1-4 isn't a optimistic look at that start.
Yeah, well, where's the win to you there?
Right.
1-4. Where's the win?
Miami, maybe.
Miami?
If Tua struggles.
So they're like, yeah, I mean, maybe it's optimistic to be 1-4. Like,
and maybe if Tua's struggling, we could snag a win in there.
I said this to somebody today at Tigers practice. When I heard that, because I'm going to tell you what they said after this, it was literally like someone buzzed into their ear. Hey, fill in, guys. This is local talk radio in Indianapolis. Turn that frown upside down, because this is what they said next.
Or if you're a momentum believer in division, then maybe that Titans game. I don't know. Because this is still a quality club. This is still one of the best running games in the National Football League. This is still a defense that is strong up front, that is hungry to prove themselves on the backside as well. And that conversation with Carter Wilson we're going to have, I'm looking forward to getting his mindset of where the defense is at. But all things point to this still being a collective unit that's capable of rallying around one another. But Brandon, you know as well as I do, and the listeners know this as well as I do, that this is a quarterback-driven league.
It's like someone literally buzzed in. Hey, fill in, guys.
Cut the call tape.
Hey, this is Indianapolis. This is local talk radio, guys. Get those pom-poms back out. Hey, they could beat the Titans.
If you believe in momentum.
Hey, you know what? We're going to talk to guy on defense. I mean, maybe defense this year. Defense can't. You have Jacob Eason at quarterback. Like, come on.
You don't have a quarterback, but that momentum, one heck of a drug, momentum.
I'll give the fill-in guys credit. They kept it real on the front end. The back end, a little. Then I'm listening to Dan Dockage today. And with Dan Dockage, he really is the radio version of a box of chocolates because you do not know what you're going to get. I mean, you do not know. And so I'm listening to Dockage. And remember, the national media kisses Chris Ballard's butt like it's nobody's business. I mean, I think it's because he took over a bad team. Everybody thought the old GM Grigson was terrible. He takes over a bad team. He drafts Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard. Andrew Luck comes back. They make the playoffs. Like, great general manager! But ever since then, I mean, whatever. And here's what Dan Dockage said. Again, also on 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. Here's what Dockage said today.
I've been critical, and I've talked about this all summer long. There was no plan at left tackle when Costanza was talking. Yep. Now you don't know who that is. There was no plan at quarterback unless you really believe in Eason. And my people are telling me they really do, but they don't because of what you just said. I mean, I've been all over Chris, but I like Chris. Chris comes in. He's great. He's a friend. We text. But, man, everybody telling me he's the greatest drafter, blah, blah. I guess we're going to see. But shouldn't he maybe have had a plan in place for the quarterback position?
Okay. I think that's good. Like, that's real. Because I've sat here with the Ballard stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute. I had sympathy for Ballard when Andrew Luck up and retired out of nowhere. Like, that, okay. Like, I have sympathy
that's
for you.
Tough.
But when you bring in P-Pop Phillip Rivers and he's a P-Pop, and then the next year you go with Carson Wentz and he gets hurt because all Carson Wentz ever does is get hurt, I have no sympathy for you. And I at least appreciate Dan Dockich keeping it real. So at least Indianapolis Sports Radio doesn't have their heads so far up their rear ends like the national media does when it comes to talking about their team. It is incredibly odd. And you know me. I mean, we talked today about putting Mike Vrabel on the hot seat if they don't win this division.
Right.
Like, you know me. I mean, I keep it real with the Titans. But I think the national media just loves to crap on the Titans and loves to elevate the Colts. And I don't totally know what is so special about the Colts. But at least the indie media, for the most part, seems to have their head squared on.
I mean, I just think that was so funny. You think maybe he could have had a planet quarterback? This guy who has the crown of NFL guru, draft guru, all hail Chris Ballard. Don't you think he maybe could have had a plan for, like, quarterback?
Well, apparently we shouldn't hold him to that because, Ian, please play that Colin Cowherd again that we just played from yesterday, because apparently Colin does not think that Chris Ballard should have had a planet quarterback. Here, we got it. That's okay. I put you on the spot. That's all right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Well, if Caroline's coming up next anyways. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love those guys. It's grilling and chilling season, and Hiller is celebrating all month long with special deals for our customers. Get your free grilling must-haves when you make your home improvements, like a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater, a free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator, a free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of select new HVAC systems. Their work is backed by the happy you'll be or the service is free guarantee. And these deals are only happening for a limited time. So make sure you call now. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, they take great care of my home. And I promise you that they will do the same for you. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Stillman and Company. Wow. Great game of baseball last night. The Dominican Republic knocking off the Israelis and helping me out in Caroline. Yours truly 3-1, Caroline Fenton. 1-3.
I was 2-2 yesterday.
Oh, you're right. No. Mm-mm,
you
were 1-3.
You are point fixing.
I was 2-2. You were 1-3.
I was 2-2.
No.
Mets Marlins. I took the Mets.
They lost.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. The Marlins won 6-3.
Oh.
I took the Mets, too. You took the Phillies. I took the Nats plus 1.5. The Nats lost by 2. So you did win that one.
I did win that one.
You took Spain plus 12. You lost that.
Yeah.
And you took the Israelis. I took the Dominican Republic. You lost that. So you're 1-3. I'm 2-2.
Touche.
There we go. Time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
We've got a Caroline Fenton, Jared Stillman face-off tonight. Braves, Cardinals, curveball. Give me the Braves on the money line, minus 130. John Lester is on the mound for the Cardinals. He was an acquisition in the Nats trade, and he sucks. He's old. The Cardinals were desperate just to add a little bit of depth to their bullpen. Max Fried's on the mound for Atlanta, 4.32 ERA. He is 7-7. And since the All-Star break, Fried has had a 2.84 ERA. He's completed 7 innings in 2 of his 3 starts, which is a huge help for the Braves with their pretty shallow bullpen. So give me the Braves on the money line.
St. Louis, what's next?
Padres, A's, give me Athletics minus 180. It's a lefty matchup tonight. Padres throw up Blake Snell on the mound. Sean Manea on the mound
the
Athletics.
Sean Manea, I will go ahead and take the Padres. What's next?
We also have women's soccer, USA, Australia. Give me the home team, USA minus 140.
I don't know how to be excited about women's soccer anymore. I mean,
you're just not excited about anything these days.
Well, but we
not
lost.
Not excited about the balls, not excited about the women's national team.
We stink.
We don't stink.
In soccer?
We don't stink in soccer.
By our standards, we stink.
We got beat by Canada, and that really should not have happened. I think that this team is way better than the performance they put on in the field, and I think that they are going for bronze tonight.
I'll take the U.S. as well, and I will also take the U.S. women's basketball team in the quarterfinal. They are taking on tonight at 11 o'clock Central Time. They are taking on Australia in the quarterfinal. Give me Team USA.
Give me Australia plus 15 and a half.
Woo, you were ready for that one.
Fancy.
Didn't learn your lesson last time. That's it for us. We are out of here. Chase McCabe is next with the Music City Grand Prix Show. So get excited about that. Chase McCabe coming up next. Stillman and Company. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.